You can work your whole life for money, or you can learn how to make money work for you. Most people wake up every day to go to a job they don't love, just to earn enough to make it to the next month. They dream of freedom but don't know how to reach it. The cash flow quadrant, from employee to investor, is about changing that story. It's about learning how to move from working for money to building a life where money works quietly for you. This isn't about luck or some secret formula. It's about understanding how the rich think, how they make decisions, and how they build systems that create freedom. If you've ever felt stuck in the same routine, tired of giving your time and getting nothing lasting in return, this is for you. Stay with me, because once you understand this mindset, you'll never look at your job, your money, or your future the same way again. Chapter 1. See your paycheck as the first step, not the goal. Most people spend their whole lives chasing a paycheck. They wake up, go to work, come home tired, and do it all again the next day. The paycheck becomes the reason they get up in the morning. But the truth is, your paycheck was never meant to be the finish line. It's the starting point. It's the seed that can grow into freedom, if you choose to use it that way. When you see your paycheck as the goal, you stop growing, you measure your life in pay periods, you think about money only in terms of survival, rent, bills, groceries, gas. You end up trapped in a cycle that looks safe, but keeps you small. But when you see your paycheck as the first step, everything changes. You begin to ask better questions. You begin to see possibilities. You stop thinking, how can I earn more? And start thinking, how can I use what I earn to create something bigger? Money has power when it moves. The problem is most people stop it too early. They get paid, and they spend it. They trade hours for dollars and hand those dollars away as fast as they get them. Nothing is left to grow. The first step to breaking free from that pattern is awareness. You have to look at your paycheck and see what it really represents. It's not just money, it's proof of your ability to create value. It's proof that your time, your skill, your effort can produce something that the world rewards. That's the first step, but it can't be the last. The goal is not to work harder for a bigger paycheck. The goal is to learn how to make that paycheck work for you. Every dollar you earn has a job. You can make it pay your bills, or you can make it build your future. You decide. Every time you get paid, you hold the power to stay where you are, or move closer to financial freedom. You have to start thinking like a builder. The paycheck is your first brick. What you do with it determines the size of the house you build. Spend it all and you have nothing to show for your effort. Use a part of it to grow, and you begin to build something lasting. That's how the shift from employee to investor begins. Not with a big inheritance or a lucky break, but with a single decision to use your paycheck differently. Start by separating what you need from what you want. Most people blur the line. They convince themselves that every purchase is necessary. But when you slow down and look closer, you realize that a large part of what you buy is only there to fill a moment of comfort. The truth is, every dollar spent on comfort today takes away from freedom tomorrow. This isn't about being cheap, it's about being intentional. It's about saying, I'm not just working for money, I'm working to buy time, options, and peace of mind. The first habit you need is discipline, not the kind that feels like punishment, but the kind that comes from purpose. When you know why you're saving, investing, and building, discipline stops feeling like restriction. It feels like power. You start enjoying the process of control. You start taking pride in knowing that you're no longer just working for a paycheck. You're using it as a tool to build something better. At first, it might not look exciting. It might feel slow. You'll save a little, invest a little, learn a little. But understand this. Every small step compounds. Every dollar you keep, and every choice you make toward growth, builds momentum. Over time, those small steps become freedom. You begin to see that your paycheck was never the problem, it was how you used it. See your paycheck as your business partner. You provide the effort, it provides the resources. Together, you build something greater. But if you waste what it gives you, the partnership dies. That's why awareness and intention are everything. When you get paid, ask yourself, what portion of this paycheck will I use to build my future? What will I invest in that will eventually pay me back without me having to trade my time? Think of skills, not just stocks. Your mind is the greatest investment you'll ever make. If you use part of your paycheck to learn, to grow, to gain new abilities that increase your value, you're already an investor. The transition from employee to investor starts inside your thinking, not inside your wallet. An employee works for security, an investor works for freedom. You have to reprogram the way you see work. Work is not punishment, it's a platform. It's where you earn your starting capital, your experience, your lessons. Every hour you put in gives you resources, but also teaches you something. The goal is not to stay in that cycle forever, but to use it as a foundation to rise higher. The paycheck is your teacher, not your master. Here's the truth most people never realize. Wealth is built by people who understand how to direct their money, not just earn it. The money you make can either keep you tied to your job or set you free from it. The difference is your mindset. When you get that, everything about your life starts to change. You start seeing opportunities where you used to see limits. You start thinking in terms of building, not surviving. You can start small. You don't need thousands of dollars to think like an investor. You just need to start treating every dollar as something with potential. Maybe you put a little aside to learn a new skill. Maybe you invest a small part into a fund. Maybe you use a small amount to start a side project that can grow. The point is to move from being only a worker to being a creator of value. That's what the cash flow quadrant is really about, movement. You move from the employee who trades time for money, to the self-employed who owns a small piece of what they do, to the business owner who builds systems that make money, and finally to the investor who lets money work for them. But that journey doesn't start with quitting your job or jumping into business. It starts with seeing your paycheck differently. If you see your paycheck as the reward, you'll always stop there. But if you see it as the first step, you'll keep walking. You'll learn, you'll invest, you'll grow. You'll realize that freedom isn't a gift, it's a responsibility. It's built one smart choice at a time. There's a sense of peace that comes when you start to understand this. You stop worrying about the next raise or the next job. You begin to feel in control. You know where your money goes. You see it working for you. That control builds confidence. And that confidence becomes momentum. You begin to move differently, think differently, live differently. You no longer depend on someone else to give you a paycheck. You use that paycheck to build your independence. You build your own future instead of waiting for someone to hand it to you. That's the real shift, from dependency to ownership, from earning to creating. If you can make this one mental change, seeing your paycheck as the beginning, not the end, you will start to separate yourself from the crowd. You'll stop chasing comfort and start chasing growth. You'll stop asking for more and start becoming more. That's where true wealth begins, not in a number on a check, but in the belief that you can use what you have today to create something far greater tomorrow. The moment you see your paycheck as the first step, you begin your real financial journey. Every dollar becomes a vote for your future. Every choice becomes a lesson. Every step becomes progress. The paycheck is not the goal, it's your starting line. And once you see that, you'll never look at it the same way again.
Chapter 2. Question every belief that keeps you earning less. Every person carries invisible rules about money. Beliefs learned early, accepted quietly, and repeated for years. These beliefs shape how much you earn, how you spend, and what you think you deserve. The problem is that most of these beliefs were never questioned. They were handed down by parents, teachers, or society, and they live in your mind like unchallenged laws. If you want to move from employee to investor, you must start by breaking those laws. Many people grow up believing that the only way to make more money is to work harder or longer. They think effort equals income. That belief keeps them trapped, because there's a limit to how hard you can work, but no limit to how much your money can work for you. The first step toward financial growth is to see that belief for what it is, a ceiling you placed on yourself. Hard work matters, but if it's not directed with strategy, it becomes survival instead of progress. Another belief that holds people back is the idea that money is scarce. People say, there's not enough to go around. They operate from fear, always trying to protect what little they have instead of learning how to multiply it. The truth is, money flows toward those who understand how to use it, not those who fear losing it. The world rewards confidence and clarity, not hesitation. If you believe money is limited, you'll never take the steps that open new doors. You'll avoid risk, miss opportunities, and stay stuck in the same place, hoping things will change. Think about how early these thoughts begin. As children, many hear phrases like money doesn't grow on trees, or rich people are greedy. Those words stick. They create guilt around wanting more. They make success feel wrong. So even as adults, when opportunities come, you hesitate. You doubt your worth. You question whether you should aim higher. That hesitation costs more than any financial mistake. It costs your potential. The truth is, you can only earn to the level of your beliefs. If you think small, you earn small. If you see yourself as limited, your life becomes proof of that limitation. Real change starts when you question every belief that tells you what you can't do. Ask yourself, who told me that? Is it true? What evidence do I have that this belief serves me today? When you begin to challenge those ideas, your thinking starts to expand. You stop defending your limits and start exploring your options. One of the most damaging beliefs is that your job defines your value. People say, I'm just an employee, as if that title measures their worth. But your title is not your identity, it's only your current position. When you accept a label too tightly, you stop seeing beyond it. You stop growing. The shift begins when you realize that your job is a tool, not your destiny. You can use it to learn, to grow, to build capital and to fund the next stage of your life. But if you see it as who you are, you'll never leave it behind. Another common belief is that investing is for other people, people who are smarter, richer, or luckier. That's a dangerous illusion. Every investor started somewhere, usually with less than they wanted, and more fear than they admitted. What made the difference wasn't money, it was mindset. They asked questions others didn't. They studied what others ignored. They were willing to be beginners. If you tell yourself you're not ready to invest, you'll stay unready forever. The truth is, the act of learning how to invest is what makes you ready. You also need to examine how you view success. Many people secretly believe that success means losing something, time, relationships. They think it's a trade-off. That belief makes them sabotage their own progress. They get close to opportunity and pull back because they're afraid of change. But success doesn't take from you, it expands you. It gives you more choices, more experiences, and more control over your time. The only thing it takes away is the illusion that you're powerless. There's another subtle belief that keeps people earning less. The idea that they must be liked by everyone. This need for approval makes them avoid negotiation, stay quiet in meetings, or settle for less than they deserve. They fear being seen as demanding or ungrateful. But growth requires courage. You can't rise if you're always seeking permission. The moment you realize that your life belongs to you, not to others' opinions, you start earning different. You begin to speak up, take chances, and pursue what's possible instead of what's safe. Your beliefs about time also matter. Many people think time is something that happens to them. They say, "I don't have time," when what they really mean is, "I haven't decided what's important." The truth is, time is the one thing you control completely. When you treat time like currency, you start investing it wisely. You stop wasting hours on distractions that don't pay you back. You start focusing on skills, ideas, and actions that move you forward. Question the belief that time controls you. It's the other way around. One belief that quietly limits growth is comfort. People believe that comfort means success. They reach a certain level of income, buy nicer things, and then stop growing, because they don't want to risk losing what they've gained. But comfort slowly becomes a cage. Progress only happens when you're willing to be uncomfortable again. The people who grow the most are not the ones who have everything figured out. They're the ones willing to feel uncertain while learning something new. To question your beliefs, you have to be honest with yourself. Write them down, look at the statements you repeat about money and success. Ask yourself where they came from. Most of them will trace back to someone else's experience, not your own. You've been living under someone else's rules. But those rules don't have to define you. Once you see them clearly, you can replace them with new ones. Beliefs that serve your future, not your past. A powerful shift happens when you start asking different questions. Instead of "what if I fail," ask "what if I learn something that changes my life." Instead of "I can't afford that," ask "how can I afford that?" Instead of "I don't know how," ask "who can teach me?" The quality of your questions determines the quality of your results. When your mind opens to new questions, your life begins to open to new possibilities. Beliefs are habits of thought. They repeat until you challenge them. You can't remove an old belief, you have to replace it with a stronger one. Replace "money is hard to make" with "money rewards value." Replace "I'm not an investor" with "I'm learning to think like one." Replace "I don't have enough" with "I can create more." Every time you think differently, you take one step closer to freedom. Questioning your beliefs is not about rejecting everything you know. It's about examining whether what you believe still serves you. Growth requires new thinking. You can't build a new future with old beliefs. The world has changed, and so must your mindset. When you were a child, you believed certain things because you didn't know better. But now you do. And knowing better means doing better. The reason most people never move from employee to investor isn't lack of money, it's loyalty to beliefs that keep them small. They cling to ideas that feel safe, even when those ideas hold them back. But you have a choice. You can continue repeating those beliefs, or you can challenge them and build new ones that open doors. The moment you decide to question what you've accepted for years, you begin to break the cycle. You can earn more, you can learn faster, you can grow beyond your background. None of that starts with money, it starts with belief. Every time you confront a thought that limits you, you take back power. You become the designer of your life, not the product of your conditioning. The person who earns more isn't better, luckier, or more talented. They simply think differently. They question what others accept. They refuse to let fear decide their future. That's the mindset of an investor. It begins not with a paycheck, but with a decision to stop believing what keeps you small and start believing what makes you grow.
Chapter 3. Think like an owner, even before you are one. An owner thinks differently from the moment they wake up. They don't wait for someone to tell them what to do. They decide what matters and move toward it. They don't count hours,
They count results. Thinking like an owner is about taking full responsibility for your life before anyone gives you the title or the reward. It's about building a mindset of independence while you're still standing inside the system that taught you to depend on it. When you think like an employee, your focus is survival. You ask, what do I need to do to keep my job? When you think like an owner, your focus is growth. You ask, what can I create that will make things better? That single change in perspective shifts everything you do. It turns you from a task follower into a problem solver, from a time seller into a value creator. The people who rise the fastest are the ones who already act like they own the place, long before their name is on the door. Ownership is not about a title or position, it's a way of thinking that changes how you show up. Owners look at challenges as chances to improve. They don't say, that's not my job. They say, how can I make this work? When you start approaching your work that way, you attract attention, trust, and opportunity. People who create value can't stay unnoticed for long. The world rewards those who take initiative without being asked. Start by owning your time. Every minute you waste is a piece of your life you can't get back. When you begin treating time as your most valuable asset, you naturally become more intentional. You stop filling your days with distractions that don't serve your future. You plan your time around what moves you forward, not what keeps you busy. An owner mindset means living with direction. It means asking, how is what I'm doing right now bringing me closer to my goals? An employee thinks about earning. An owner thinks about building. Building means creating systems, products, habits, and relationships that continue to pay you long after the work is done. You might still be an employee today, but you can start building like an owner. Take what you know and turn it into something that can grow on its own. A small online course, a service, a simple business idea, or even a way to save and invest better. Ownership starts with creation, not permission. You also have to change how you think about problems. Most people try to avoid them. Owners seek them out. They know that every problem carries potential. The bigger the problem you solve, the more value you create. The world pays for solutions. If you want to earn like an owner, start solving problems no one else wants to handle. Look around your workplace or your community and notice what's broken or inefficient. Then ask yourself how it could be improved. Even if you can't fix it yet, the act of thinking like that builds the habit of leadership. When you think like an owner, you stop blaming circumstances, you stop waiting for the economy to improve, your boss to notice or luck to arrive. You focus on what you can control, your effort, your attitude, your learning and your execution. You take responsibility not because it's easy, but because it's empowering. Ownership gives you power over your results. It makes you the driver, not the passenger. An owner doesn't chase comfort. They chase clarity. They understand that freedom is built on discipline. You can't expect independence if you're not willing to hold yourself accountable. Every day you have to show up as if your name is already on the business, because mentally it is. You are the CEO of your own life. Every choice is a business decision that either increases your value or reduces it. Every habit is an investment that either compounds or costs you. Thinking like an owner also means learning continuously. Owners are students of their craft. They don't settle for good enough. They read, ask questions, and experiment. They see learning as an asset, not an obligation. If you want to move from employee to investor, you must think of knowledge as your greatest leverage. The more you know, the more confident your decisions become, and the more opportunities you can create. An owner's mindset values feedback instead of fearing it. When someone points out a mistake, they don't get defensive. They get curious. They want to understand how to improve. That's how they grow faster than everyone else. As long as you take criticism as an attack, you'll stay stuck. The moment you start taking it as information, you'll start getting better. Ownership is also about vision. You have to be able to see beyond the paycheck, beyond the month, beyond the comfort of today. You must picture where you want to be and hold that vision, even when progress feels slow. Employees focus on the weekend. Owners focus on the legacy. The more you think ahead, the more you prepare yourself for the life you want. Financial ownership begins with control. You have to know where your money goes. You can't invest if you don't understand your own flow of cash. Track your spending, plan your savings, and learn the basics of how money grows. The earlier you take ownership of your finances, the faster you move toward independence. Too many people hand over that power to employers, to debt, to impulse. Ownership means taking it back. There's also emotional ownership. You can't build anything lasting if you let emotions drive every decision. Owners stay calm when things go wrong. They don't panic. They adjust. They know that reacting emotionally wastes energy. Instead, they respond with reason and patience. That's what makes them reliable leaders. If you want others to trust you, you must learn to manage yourself first. Thinking like an owner will also change how you handle failure. Employees often see failure as final. Owners see it as feedback. They study what went wrong. They fix it. And they move forward. Every setback becomes a lesson that sharpens their judgment. Failure only destroys you if you see it as the end. If you treat it as part of the process, it becomes a teacher. Another part of ownership is initiative. Don't wait for opportunities, create them. If you notice something missing, step up. Take responsibility even when no one asks. That's how leaders are born. The more you act with initiative, the more you'll stand out. People start trusting you, not because of your position, but because of your presence. You also need to learn how to think in terms of results, not activities. Doing a lot doesn't always mean achieving a lot. Owners measure their success by outcomes. They focus on what actually produces progress. When you start thinking that way, you'll find yourself wasting less time and producing more value. Your effort becomes sharper, your work more meaningful. Every owner understands leverage, the idea of getting more results from the same effort. You can apply this right now, even as an employee. Find ways to use tools, systems, or people to multiply your impact. Automate small tasks, delegate when possible, and focus your energy on the actions that truly move you forward. Leverage is the bridge between working hard and working smart. The shift to ownership also changes how you treat others. Employees often compete for approval. Owners build cooperation. They understand that success is built on relationships. They treat people well because they know trust and respect open doors that money can't. When you start thinking like an owner, you see people as partners, not obstacles. You look for ways to help others grow, because every person you uplift strengthens your own network. Ownership is not about control, it's about contribution. It's about seeing yourself as part of something bigger and choosing to make it better. Even if you don't run the company, you can own the quality of your work, the integrity of your actions, and the impact you leave behind. When you think this way, you stop doing the minimum and start setting standards. Eventually, that mindset spills into everything. How you manage your money, your health, your time, your goals. Ownership becomes your natural state. You stop waiting for the future and start building it. You stop saying, "When I have more, I'll start." And instead you say, "I'll start and that's how I'll have more." Thinking like an owner is not about pretending. It's about preparing. When the day comes that you actually own your business, your investments, or your freedom, it won't be new. It will be familiar. You will have lived that mindset for years. The habits, the focus, the discipline, all of it will already be part of you. The people who rise from employee to investor are not the ones with special breaks. They are the ones who start thinking differently before life demands it. They see themselves as builders, not just workers. They take ownership of their results, their learning and their future. You can begin that today. Start by thinking like an owner, and soon enough you'll become one.
Chapter 4. Use your job to fund your financial freedom. Your job can either be your prison or your launchpad. The difference lies in how you use it. Most people see their job as the final destination, a place to earn, survive, and repeat the same routine for years. But if you shift your thinking, your job becomes something far more powerful. It becomes the engine that funds your financial freedom. It's not about hating what you do or rushing to escape it. It's about using it strategically to build something bigger while you still have the stability to do so. Your paycheck is not the problem. It's what you do with it that decides your future. When you work only for bills, you trade your energy for survival. When you work to create freedom, every paycheck becomes a tool, a step toward independence. The key is to stop spending everything you earn and start directing a portion of it to build assets that can eventually replace your income. Every dollar you control today is a soldier that can fight for your future if you train it properly. You don't have to quit your job to become financially free. In fact, your job can be the safest place to start. It gives you structure, discipline, and steady income to learn and grow without panic. But you must treat your job differently. Instead of seeing it as your life, see it as your investor. Each paycheck is an investment in the life you are building beyond those office walls. When you work this way, your daily effort becomes meaningful. You're not just earning, you're building a foundation for freedom. Start by creating a plan for your income. Most people let money slip through their fingers because they have no direction for it. They work hard, spend without intention, and wonder why nothing changes. You need a purpose for every dollar you earn. Divide your income into three parts: what sustains you, what protects you, and what grows you. What sustains you covers your essentials, housing, food, transportation. What protects you includes your emergency fund and insurance. What grows you is your investment money, funds for assets, education, and side projects. Once you create this structure, your job becomes a generator of progress, not just a provider of comfort. The trap for many people is lifestyle inflation. As their income increases, their spending grows to match it. They get a raise and immediately upgrade their car or move to a more expensive place. That habit kills momentum. If you want to build wealth, you have to resist that urge. Keep your expenses stable even when your income rises. The gap between what you earn and what you spend is your freedom fund. That gap is where your future lives. Protect it fiercely. Your job also gives you something more valuable than money. It gives you access to learning. Every company, every industry, every manager teaches lessons about how systems work, how people behave, and how business operates. Pay attention to that. If you're going to one day invest in businesses or create your own, study the one you work for. Observe how it handles problems, serves customers, manages budgets, and treats its people. This knowledge will serve you long after you leave the company. When you use your job to learn, you turn experience into capital. Discipline is the bridge between your paycheck and your freedom. You need to build habits that strengthen your financial control. Track your expenses every week. Automate your savings so that money goes into your investment account before you even see it. Avoid debt that doesn't build assets. Use credit only when it helps you grow. These small habits might seem simple, but they create the structure that separates financial security from constant struggle. Think about your job as a partnership. You provide your time and skill. Your job provides income and experience. Your goal is to take what you earn and make it work for you in smarter ways.
Build an emergency fund first, so you can handle unexpected situations without panic. Then start putting money into investments that generate returns, stocks, index funds, real estate, or even a small side business. The goal is to create income that arrives even when you're not working. Over time, those sources will grow until they can cover your expenses. That's the moment you gain real freedom. Not when you quit your job, but when you no longer depend on it. Avoid the mindset that says you'll start investing when you have more. That's a trap that keeps you waiting forever. Start now, even if it's a small amount. The habit of investing matters more than the size of the investment. When you learn to set aside a portion of your paycheck consistently, you're training your future self to think long term. Those early investments teach discipline, patience, and confidence, qualities that will define your journey as an investor. Use your job to practice leadership and communication. Even if you don't plan to stay forever, learn to work well with people. The skills you build here, how to negotiate, how to persuade, how to handle pressure, will serve you in every business and investment decision later. Treat your job as a training ground for success. Every project, every meeting, every deadline is a lesson in how value is created and delivered. Many people waste their jobs by focusing only on the paycheck. They ignore the access it gives them to connections, networks, and opportunity. Build relationships with people who are good at what they do. Learn from those who manage money wisely or run parts of the business efficiently. Ask questions. Be curious. These relationships can later open doors to partnerships, advice, or investment opportunity. Your network is another form of capital. When you change how you see your job, your energy changes. You stop resenting work and start using it. Every task becomes part of a larger strategy. You're not just performing duties, you're fueling your freedom. That mindset gives you patience and power. You know you're building something beyond the walls of your office, and that makes the daily grind meaningful. As you move forward, set specific financial goals. Decide exactly how much you want to save, invest, and earn in passive income each year. Track your progress month. Celebrate small wins, but keep your eyes on the bigger picture. Freedom doesn't arrive suddenly. It builds quietly, one decision at a time. When you treat your job as the tool it is, your path becomes clear. There will be times you feel tired or impatient. You'll want results fast. But remember, financial freedom isn't built on speed. It's built on consistency. The person who steadily invests small amounts over time will go farther than the one who jumps in and out based on emotion. Use your job stability to your advantage. While others complain, you're building. While others spend, you're saving. While others drift, you're planning. Eventually, your investments will start producing returns. The first time your money makes money, something shifts inside you. You realize you don't have to trade time for every dollar. You begin to understand what freedom feels like. That feeling is built by every disciplined choice you made while working your job. It's the result of using your position wisely instead of escaping it blindly. One day, your job will no longer be your main source of income. It will be one of many. You'll look back and see how every hour you spent, every paycheck you received, helped build your independence. That's the power of perspective. The job that once felt like a cage becomes the reason you're free. The difference between those who stay stuck and those who move forward isn't luck or opportunity. It's how they use what they have right now. You already have a steady income, skills, and access to learning. The question is what you'll do with it. If you use your job to build assets, gain knowledge, and expand your network, you're no longer just an employee. You're an investor in progress, using today to buy tomorrow. Your job can fund your freedom if you treat it with purpose. Work hard, save smart, invest consistently, and keep learning. Use what you have to create what you want. That's how ordinary people build extraordinary lives. Not by running away from their jobs, but by using them as the foundation for something far greater.
Chapter 5. Build cash flow that works while you rest. Real freedom begins when your money keeps moving even when you don't. Most people spend their whole lives working harder,
hoping one day they'll be able to rest. But the truth is, you'll never have lasting peace if your income depends completely on your effort. You need to build cash flow that continues when you stop working. It's not about greed, it's about security, control, and peace of mind. The goal is to create a system where money works as hard for you as you once worked for it. Cash flow means consistent income that comes in without your direct effort every day. It's not a sudden windfall or a lucky break. It's built intentionally, piece by piece, through smart choices and long-term thinking. It starts small, maybe with one source of extra income, but it grows as you learn, as you reinvest, and as your mindset shifts from earning to owning. To build cash flow, you first need to change the way you think about money. Most people think of money as something to spend. You earn, you pay bills, you buy what you want, and it's gone. But investors see money differently. They treat it like a worker. Every dollar has a job to do. When you send money out, you expect it to bring back more. If you spend without purpose, your money disappears. If you invest with intention, your money multiplies. That difference is the foundation of financial freedom. Start by looking at where your money goes right now. Track it for a month, be honest. See how much goes into things that build your future, and how much just fades away after a few days of satisfaction. Most people are shocked when they see how much of their income is lost on things that add no real value to their lives. That awareness is your first tool. You can't build cash flow if you don't control the flow you already have. Once you understand your spending, the next step is to create a margin. The money you save becomes the seed that grows your cash flow. You don't need a huge amount to start, you need consistency. Set aside a fixed portion of every paycheck for building income-generating assets. Treat it like a bill that must be paid, except this one pays you back. That's how you start shifting from consumer to investor. The next step is learning where to place that money. There are many ways to build cash flow: stocks that pay dividends, rental properties, online businesses, royalties, or digital products. The right path depends on your interests, skills, and willingness to learn. The key is not to jump into everything at once, but to understand one opportunity deeply before moving to the next. Every cash flow stream requires knowledge. The more you know, the less you risk, and the more you earn. Building passive income doesn't mean you do nothing. It means you do the right things once and get paid repeatedly. For example, if you build an online course, write a book, or design a system that runs on automation, your effort continues to pay you long after the work is done. If you invest in a rental property, the rent comes in every month, whether you're awake or asleep. The beauty of cash flow is that it frees your time. It allows you to focus on living instead of surviving. To make this work, you must also learn patience. Real wealth doesn't appear overnight. Cash flow grows quietly, almost invisibly, until one day it's large enough to notice. The small investments you make now, time, money, learning, compound over years. Too many people quit before that happens, because they expect results too soon. You need to think long term. You're not planting seeds for tomorrow, you're planting trees that will feed you for a lifetime. One of the biggest mistakes people make is chasing quick returns. They see someone making fast money and rush in without understanding the risk. That's not building cash flow, that's gambling. You want income that lasts, not income that burns out. Choose stability over excitement. Choose progress over perfection. True investors play the long game. They don't let greed or fear decide their moves. They make calm, informed decisions based on facts, not emotion. A practical way to start is by building one simple cash flow source while you keep your job. Maybe you buy a small dividend-paying stock, start a low-cost online service, or rent out something you already own. Focus on learning how that income works. As you gain confidence, reinvest the profits to grow it further. Once that source becomes steady, start another. Over time, these small streams begin to merge into a river of income that supports your lifestyle. The goal isn't to quit working immediately. It's to reach the point where work becomes a choice, not a necessity. When your investments or business income cover your expenses, your stress level changes, you think clearer. You make decisions from strength, not desperation. You can take risks, pursue passions, and give more because you're no longer chained to a paycheck. That's the freedom cash flow brings. Another key to building lasting cash flow is simplicity. You don't need to manage complicated systems. The best income streams are the ones you understand completely. If it confuses you, don't invest in it until you learn. Complexity creates mistakes. Clarity creates confidence. The more transparent your system, the easier it is to sustain. Automation can also help you protect and grow your income. Set up automatic transfers to your investment accounts. Automate bill payments to avoid late fees. Use tools that track and reinvest your dividends. The less you rely on willpower, the more consistent you'll be. Financial success is built on systems, not random motivation. There's a stage in every journey where progress feels slow. You might look at your small investments and think they don't matter. But every dollar working for you is a silent employee. They may start as a small team, but one day they'll become an army. Your job is to keep recruiting more dollars into that army and assign them to the right positions. Over time, their work will replace your own. To build strong cash flow, you must also control debt. Not all debt is bad, but you have to understand the difference. Debt that buys depreciating items drains your cash flow. Debt that buys appreciating assets can build it. If you borrow money to buy a car, it loses value. If you borrow money to buy a rental property that pays monthly income, that debt becomes a tool. The key is to make sure your debt creates cash flow instead of taking it away. Protecting your cash flow is just as important as creating it. Diversify your income so you're not dependent on one source. Have a safety fund in case markets shift. Review your financial plan regularly and adjust when needed. Freedom doesn't mean carelessness. It means control. The stronger your system, the more freedom it provides. As you build, remember to keep your goals clear. What does financial freedom mean to you? Is it traveling without worry, spending more time with family, or working on something meaningful? Clarity gives your efforts direction. When you know what you're working toward, it's easier to stay focused. Every investment, every habit, every decision should bring you closer to that vision. Building cash flow that works while you rest isn't only about money, it's about reclaiming your time and peace of mind. It's about creating a life where your days are shaped by choice, not obligation. Imagine waking up and knowing that your bills are paid because your money is doing the work. That feeling isn't a fantasy, it's the reward of patience, discipline, and smart strategy. You deserve that kind of life. It doesn't matter where you start or how much you make right now. What matters is your direction. Each decision to save, invest, and learn moves you closer to freedom. The earlier you begin, the sooner your money will start working on your behalf. So build your cash flow deliberately. Make every dollar count. Create systems that earn for you even when you're resting. That's not just financial success, it's a new way of living. A life where you own your time, control your choices, and never again have to trade every hour for survival. That is the true meaning of wealth, when your money never stops working, even when you do.
Chapter 6. Replace comfort with curiosity about wealth. Most people never grow because they fall in love with comfort. They find a routine that feels safe, and they stay there year after year, even when deep down they know they want more. Comfort becomes a quiet trap. It doesn't hurt, but it holds you. It keeps you from asking questions that could change your life. If you want to create wealth, you have to trade that comfort for curiosity. You must develop a hunger to understand how money really works, how growth happens, and how people build lasting freedom.
Curiosity is the spark that turns ordinary lives into extraordinary ones. Comfort whispers that you're fine where you are. It tells you not to take risks, not to ask too many questions, not to step outside what's familiar. But curiosity says, there's more to learn. There's something better ahead. Every wealthy person you've ever admired began with curiosity. They wondered how to make their time more valuable, how to multiply their income, how to build systems that worked for them instead of against them. That curiosity became the foundation of everything they built. The problem is that most people confuse stability with success. They think being comfortable means they're winning. They have a steady job, a nice place to live, and a bit left over at the end of the month. But if your growth has stopped, your comfort is costing you. The world changes constantly, industries shift, technology evolves, economies rise and fall. If you're not learning, you're slowly falling behind. Curiosity keeps you moving forward, even when you feel secure. Curiosity about wealth doesn't mean greed or obsession with money. It means developing an open mind about how value is created and how opportunity works. It means asking why some people seem to attract growth while others struggle no matter how hard they work. It's about exploring how skills, habits, and decisions compound over time. The more curious you become, the more patterns you see. You start noticing how success leaves clues everywhere. Books, people, conversations, small lessons hidden in daily life. To replace comfort with curiosity, you first have to accept that what got you here won't get you there. The knowledge, habits, and routines that keep you comfortable today are not enough to create freedom tomorrow. You must unlearn what you think you know about money. Most people were taught to earn, spend, and save, but not to grow. They were told to work hard, stay loyal, and hope for the best. That advice creates security, not wealth. Wealth requires exploration. It requires the courage to ask, is there a better way? Curiosity thrives when you stop pretending to know everything. The moment you admit you don't know enough, your mind opens. You start to notice opportunities that were invisible before. Maybe you hear someone talk about investing, and instead of tuning out, you ask questions. Maybe you read a story about someone building a business, and instead of doubting them, you wonder what steps they took. Every time you follow that curiosity, your understanding expands. That expansion is what builds wealth. Curiosity changes your relationship with learning. Instead of studying because you have to, you study because you want. You begin to read about money management, real estate, entrepreneurship, and human behavior. You listen to conversations about growth and start connecting dots. Over time, your thinking shifts. You begin to see money as a tool, not a mystery. You understand that wealth isn't luck. It's the result of consistent learning and smart decisions applied over time. Comfort often comes with fear. Fear of losing what you already have. That fear keeps people from exploring. They say, I don't want to risk it, or that's not for me. But curiosity is fearless. It's not about taking reckless chances. It's about seeking understanding. You can't grow your wealth if you keep protecting your ignorance. The people who rise financially are the ones who replace fear with fascination. When something scares them, they study it until it no longer does. That's the power of curiosity. It transforms fear into knowledge. To stay curious, surround yourself with people who think differently. Spend time with those who are ahead of you. People who talk about building, investing, and growing. Their mindset will challenge yours. You'll start asking questions you never thought to ask. You'll see possibilities you didn't know existed. The more exposure you get to people who understand wealth, the less intimidating it becomes. Curiosity also demands humility. You have to be willing to start small and make mistakes. You won't understand everything at first, and that's fine. Every expert was once a beginner. The difference is, they stayed curious long enough to become skilled. Don't let pride keep you in comfort. It's okay to ask questions, to seek help, to admit you don't know. Wealth favors the learner, not the pretender. One of the simplest ways to feed curiosity is to track progress. When you learn something new about money, how interest works, how assets grow, how businesses scale, apply it in a small way. Watch what happens. That real-world feedback keeps your curiosity alive. When you see results, even small ones, you'll want to learn more. Learning becomes addictive. The process becomes enjoyable. You start building confidence, and confidence builds momentum. Comfort is silent decay. It doesn't announce itself. It just slowly removes your edge. Curiosity, on the other hand, keeps you alive inside. It gives you energy to explore, to create, to try new paths. When you wake up curious, your day feels purposeful. You ask, what can I learn today that will move me closer to freedom? That one question, asked daily, will transform your entire life. Wealth creation requires constant curiosity because the world keeps changing. The strategies that worked 10 years ago might not work today. New industries rise, new tools appear, and new ways to grow become available. The curious adapt, they learn early, act fast, and grow ahead of the crowd. The comfortable wait until change forces them to move, and by then it's too late. When you become curious about wealth, you stop envying others. Instead of asking, why them, you ask, what can I learn from them? You shift from comparison to education. You stop seeing rich people as lucky or selfish, and start seeing them as examples of what's possible. You learn their habits, how they think, how they plan, how they protect their time. You begin to model those habits in your own way. Curiosity also builds emotional resilience. The more you learn, the less fear controls you. You understand that setbacks are temporary, and every mistake is a lesson. You stop taking failure personally, and start using it as feedback. That mindset protects your drive. The curious person doesn't quit when something goes wrong. They ask why it went wrong, and how to fix it. That single difference is what keeps progress alive. You can begin cultivating curiosity right now. Start by reading one book about money each month. Listen to a podcast that teaches you how wealth is built. Attend a seminar or take a course online. Set aside time each week to learn something new about finance, business, or personal growth. Don't just collect information, apply it. Try a small investment, create a budget, or start a project that teaches you new skills. Every action feeds your curiosity and expands your understanding. Over time, curiosity becomes your natural state. You start questioning everything: your spending habits, your goals, your routines. You ask, is this moving me closer to wealth, or keeping me where I am? You stop doing things just because they're familiar. You make decisions based on growth, not comfort. That's when real transformation begins. Replacing comfort with curiosity doesn't mean living in constant risk. It means living with awareness. It means staying awake to opportunities that others ignore. It means trading temporary ease for long-term peace. Comfort feels good in the moment. Curiosity builds a life that feels good every day. When you live this way, you'll notice a shift inside you. The things that once scared you will start to excite you. The limits that once felt fixed will begin to move. You'll realize that wealth isn't about luck or privilege. It's about the courage to keep learning. Curiosity is your compass. It will take you from confusion to clarity, from hesitation to confidence, from comfort to freedom. The choice is simple. You can protect your comfort, or you can build your future. You can keep repeating what you know, or you can start exploring what's possible. The moment you choose curiosity, you open the door to wealth. Not just financial, but personal, emotional, and intellectual wealth. And once that door opens, your life will never be the same again.
Chapter 7. Learn how investors think before they act. Investors see the world differently from most people. They don't rush into decisions or chase quick wins. They take time to think, to study, and to understand before they act. They know that emotion is expensive and patience is profitable. To become an investor, you must first learn how they think. You can't build wealth by guessing or following the crowd.
You have to train your mind to make choices that serve the long term, not just the moment. The difference between an investor and everyone else begins in the mind. Most people think about what they can get today. Investors think about what their decisions will mean tomorrow, next year, and 10 years from now. They measure success by growth, not by instant results. They are strategic, not reactive. When others see opportunity and rush in, an investor pauses, asks questions, and studies the numbers. That calm approach protects them from mistakes that destroy wealth before it even begins. Investors understand risk, but they don't fear it. They know that risk is part of every opportunity. The key is not to avoid risk, but to manage it. That's why they learn before they move. They gather facts, analyze data, and weigh the odds. They don't let excitement or fear make the decision for them. Every move they make is backed by logic and clarity. This mindset allows them to act with confidence when others hesitate and to stay patient when others panic. Before an investor acts, they ask a series of questions that most people never consider. What is the real value of this opportunity? What problem does it solve? What return can it generate over time? What are the possible downsides, and can I handle them? How does this fit into my bigger plan? These questions are not complicated. They are practical, but they require discipline to ask every time. That discipline is what separates investors from gamblers. An investor's greatest skill is not predicting the future, but preparing for it. They don't rely on luck. They rely on understanding. They know that markets rise and fall, businesses change, and trends come and go. Instead of reacting to every shift, they plan for uncertainty. They build systems that protect their wealth through cycles of growth and decline. They diversify, save for downturns, and always keep cash ready for new opportunities. They move carefully, but they never stop moving. Investors think in terms of value, not price. Most people ask, how much does it cost? Investors ask, what is it worth? Price is what you pay. Value is what you get in return. That simple shift in thinking changes everything. It teaches you to look beyond appearances, beyond hype, and focus on substance. Whether it's a business, a stock, or a real estate deal, investors look for strength, strong management, strong cash flow, strong fundamentals. They buy what makes sense, not what's popular. They also think in terms of leverage. They understand that wealth grows faster when you use systems, people, or resources that multiply your effort. But leverage isn't about borrowing blindly. It's about using knowledge to make smart moves. They might use other people's money, other people's time, or technology to create more value without increasing effort. They think in terms of efficiency, asking, how can I get more done with the same amount of energy? That mindset allows them to scale without losing control. One thing that defines investors is their emotional control. When markets rise, they don't get carried away by excitement. When things fall, they don't panic. They stay steady, guided by their plan, not by their feelings. They know that emotion ruins judgment. Fear makes people sell too soon. Greed makes them buy too late. Investors protect themselves from these traps by setting clear rules and sticking to them. They decide in advance how much they're willing to invest, how much risk they'll take, and when they'll exit. Investors think in probabilities, not guarantees. They understand that every decision carries uncertainty, and that's okay. They don't demand perfection. They focus on increasing their chances of success through preparation. When something doesn't work out, they don't take it personally. They analyze what went wrong, learn the lesson, and adjust their strategy. Every loss becomes data that improves their next move. That's how they grow wiser with time, instead of bitter. Before an investor commits to anything, they study patterns. They look at history, numbers, and behavior. They know that while the world changes, human nature doesn't. People will always act on emotion, and that creates opportunities. When others are afraid, prices fall. When others are greedy, prices rise. Investors use these patterns to their advantage. They don't follow emotion, they follow principles. Another important part of the investor mindset is patience. They think in decades, not days. They understand that compounding takes time, and that steady growth beats quick wins. Most people quit when progress feels slow, but investors know that time is their most powerful ally. They let their money grow quietly, and they resist the urge to interfere. They know that wealth builds faster when you stop trying to force it. Investors also think about cash flow before capital gain. They don't just buy things that might increase in value, they buy things that pay them regularly. They prefer steady income over unpredictable spikes. They understand that freedom comes from cash flow, not from paper profit. This mindset keeps them grounded. It helps them focus on assets that generate consistent returns instead of chasing the next big trend. To think like an investor, you must also learn to see opportunities where others see problems. Most people complain when the economy slows or prices drop. Investors get curious. They know that downturns often create the best buying moments. When everyone else runs away, they prepare to step in. They understand that every crisis hides a chance for growth if you look closely enough. That courage to act when others are fearful is what creates fortune. Investors value learning more than comfort. They read, listen, and observe constantly. They know that knowledge compounds just like money. Every new skill, every insight, every perspective adds to their ability to make better decisions. They invest in themselves first, books, mentors, courses, experiences, because they know that their mind is their greatest asset. The smarter they become, the more opportunities they can recognize. Before they act, investors build a clear plan. They define their goals, time frames, and exit strategies. They don't just hope things work out, they design them too. They write down their rules, so emotion doesn't take over when things get uncertain. That structure gives them peace. They can sleep at night knowing their decisions are based on logic, not guesswork. An investor also understands the value of liquidity. They keep a portion of their money accessible, so they can take advantage of sudden opportunity. While others are stuck because their money is tied up in expenses or liabilities, investors always have reserves ready to move. This flexibility gives them an edge. It allows them to act when timing matters most. They also understand the power of network. Investors know that relationships are opportunities waiting to happen. They connect with people who think big, who share ideas, who bring deals and knowledge to the table. They don't isolate themselves. They collaborate. They share value before asking for anything in return, knowing that trust opens more doors than money ever could. If you want to think like an investor, start training your mind to ask why and how before saying yes. When you hear about an opportunity, study it. Learn how it makes money, who benefits, and what the risks are. Don't invest in things you don't understand. It's better to miss a chance than to lose money on something you never grasp. Education protects you more than luck ever will. Thinking like an investor also means managing expectations. You won't win every time, and you don't need to. You just need to win more often than you lose and protect yourself when things go wrong. Investors accept imperfection. They understand that consistency is better than brilliant. You don't have to make perfect decisions. You just have to keep improving your process. When you start thinking this way, your relationship with money changes. You stop chasing trends and start building strategy. You stop reacting and start anticipating. You stop seeing money as something to earn and start seeing it as something to direct. That's when you truly begin moving from employee to investor, from working for money to making money work for you. The investor mindset is not reserved for the wealthy. It's available to anyone willing to think differently. You can start today with the income you already have. Learn, plan, ask questions, and make small, smart moves. Over time, those moves will add up. You'll start to see patterns others miss. You'll begin to act with clarity instead of fear. You'll stop guessing and start deciding. That's the real secret of investors. They don't wait for the perfect moment. They create. They don't let emotion run their choices. They let understanding guide them. They think before they act, and when they act, they move with purpose. If you learn to think that way, you'll never see money the same again. You'll stop being a participant in the economy and start becoming a designer of your own financial future.
Chapter 8. Turn every expense into a chance to grow. Every dollar that leaves your hand is telling a story about what you value and how you think. Most people spend money without awareness. They react to wants, impulses, and habits. They see expenses as the cost of living, not as tools for learning, improving, or building. But when you begin to think like a builder of wealth, you start to see expenses differently. You realize that every time you spend, you have an opportunity to grow, financially, mentally, or emotionally. The goal is not to eliminate spending, but to give every expense a purpose. Money is energy. It moves. It circulates, it creates. When it flows towards something that strengthens your future, it grows. When it flows toward things that weaken you, it disappears. The difference between wealthy people and those who stay stuck is not just how much they make, it's how they use what they have. Wealthy people ask a simple question before they spend: will this make me stronger or keep me the same? That one question changes the way you view every dollar. Turning expenses into growth doesn't mean never enjoying your money. It means being intentional. It means looking for the return behind every purchase. Some returns are financial, others are educational, relational, or experiential. For example, paying for a course that teaches you how to invest is an expense that pays for itself many times over. Taking care of your health is an expense that gives you energy to work and think better. Spending on travel that opens your perspective can lead to new ideas and connections. Every expense can have value if it's directed with awareness. The first step is to separate reactive spending from purposeful spending. Reactive spending happens when you buy without thought, emotional decisions that give you a moment of pleasure, but no long-term value. Purposeful spending happens when you know exactly why you're spending and what result you want from it. When you live with purpose, you stop buying to escape and start buying to expand. Begin by examining your spending habits. Look at your last few months of expenses and ask yourself what each purchase gave you. Did it make your life better, easier, or more meaningful? Or did it just fill a temporary void? You might notice patterns: subscriptions you don't use, food you waste, gadgets you rarely touch. Each one represents energy that could have been redirected toward growth. Awareness is the first step to transformation. Once you understand your patterns, create categories for your spending: survival, comfort, and growth. Survival, comfort, and growth. Survival covers essentials: food, housing, healthcare. Comfort includes things that make life pleasant, but not necessary. Growth covers spending that builds your skills, wealth, or well-being. The goal is to shift more of your spending toward the growth category without sacrificing your needs. Over time, this habit rewires your thinking. You stop asking, "Can I afford this?" and start asking, "Will this move me forward?" Another powerful mindset shift is to see your bills as reflections of your priorities. Instead of resenting them, learn from them. Each bill tells you where your energy is going. If your money is constantly going to things that don't bring you closer to freedom, that's feedback.
It's not a failure, it's information. You can use that information to make new choices. For instance, if you spend heavily on entertainment but little on education, that's an opportunity to rebalance. If most of your income goes to debt payments, it's a signal to strengthen your financial systems. You can also turn necessary expenses into opportunities to earn. For example, if you love food and spend a lot on dining, you could start learning about cooking or nutrition, turning your interest into a side business. If you spend money on travel, you can learn travel photography or blogging. The idea is to transform what you already enjoy paying for into something that teaches you or earns you more. This mindset turns ordinary spending into a platform for growth. Every expense is also a chance to practice discipline. When you make a conscious choice to delay gratification, you train your mind for long-term thinking. The ability to say no to an impulse purchase is not about deprivation, it's about power. Each time you resist unnecessary spending, you build control. That control becomes the foundation for wealth because it allows you to direct your money instead of letting your emotions direct you. One of the most overlooked growth opportunities comes from investing in relationships. Spending money to connect with the right people, mentors, peers, communities, can create value far greater than the cost. A single conversation can change your direction. A good connection can lead to new ideas, partnerships, or investment. Relationships are assets, and sometimes the best investment you can make is being around people who think bigger than you do. Another form of growth spending is self-education. Every dollar you spend to improve your understanding of money, people, or performance multiplies over time. Books, courses, workshops, and coaching are not expenses. They are investments in your ability to create and manage value. When you understand more, you earn more. You make fewer mistakes, recognize opportunities faster, and make better decisions. The cost of ignorance is always higher than the cost of learning. You can also grow by simplifying. Reducing unnecessary expenses doesn't just save money, it sharpens focus. When your financial life is simpler, you have more clarity. You stop drowning in small decisions and start focusing on what matters most. Minimalism is not about owning less, it's about owning with intention. The more intentional you are, the more control you have over your outcomes. To truly turn expenses into growth, you have to stay curious. Ask yourself questions every time money leaves your hands. What am I getting in return? How does this contribute to my goals? Is there a smarter way to use this money? Over time, these questions become habits. You'll start seeing opportunities in places others overlook. That's the mindset of an investor. Always seeking ways to make every move count. Sometimes growth means using your expenses to build assets indirectly. For example, instead of renting a space forever, learn what it takes to own property. Instead of buying everything at retail, explore how to buy at wholesale or resale value. Instead of spending only as a consumer, learn how to spend like a creator. Someone who uses every purchase to build capacity, knowledge, or connections. Another layer to this mindset is gratitude. When you appreciate what your money allows you to experience, you build a healthier relationship with it. Gratitude makes you more conscious of how you use your resources. When you treat money as a partner, rather than a burden, you naturally become more responsible. You stop seeing expenses as loss and start seeing them as opportunities to direct energy. Turning expenses into growth also means protecting your energy from regret. Once you spend intentionally, don't waste time wishing you had done something different. Learn from it, adjust, and move forward. Regret drains momentum, reflection fuels it. Every decision, even a poor one, can teach you something if you choose to learn from it. This mindset doesn't require perfection. You'll still make mistakes. You'll still spend on things you later realize didn't serve you. The key is progress, not purity. Each time you spend with purpose, you take one step closer to control. Each time you ask a question before buying, you strengthen awareness. Awareness turns into wisdom, and wisdom turns into freedom. Over time, this approach transforms how you see money. It's no longer just something to survive with. It becomes a tool for building, learning, and expanding. You stop working for money and start working with it. Every expense becomes part of a larger design, a strategy that supports your goal. Imagine living in a way where nothing you spend is wasted. Every bill, every purchase, every choice contributes to your growth in some way. That's not just financial freedom, that's mastery. It's a life where you move with purpose, not reaction. It's a life where your money reflects your vision, not your impulses. That's how true wealth is built, not by eliminating expenses, but by transforming them. Every dollar you spend is a chance to shape your future. When you start living that truth, your relationship with money changes forever. You begin to see growth in every direction, because now even your expenses are working for you.
Chapter 9. Create systems that make money without you. Real wealth is built when money flows without your constant effort. It's not about working endlessly. It's about creating systems that work in your place. Most people only know one way to earn trade time for income. They work, get paid, stop working, and the money stops too. But those who build financial freedom understand a different truth. The smartest work is building something that keeps producing even when you step away. Systems are what separate the busy from the free. A system is any structure that continues to generate value without requiring your daily involvement. It could be a business that runs with a team, an investment that pays dividends, or digital assets that create income automatically. Systems don't appear by accident, they're designed with purpose. You build them by combining knowledge, tools, people, and discipline. The more systems you build, the more your time becomes your own. The first step to creating systems that make money without you is to stop seeing yourself as the source of income and start seeing yourself as the designer of income. This means stepping back from the mindset of "I must do everything myself." As long as you believe that your presence is necessary for everything to work, you'll always be stuck in the same cycle. The goal is to create processes, rules, and structures that can function even when you're not there. Think about how businesses operate. The owner doesn't personally handle every sale, manage every task, or speak to every customer. Instead, they build systems, marketing systems to attract customers, operational systems to deliver products, and financial systems to manage cash flow. Those systems free the owner's time and make the business scalable. You can apply the same principle to your personal finances. The systems you create become your quiet employees, working around the clock, never needing rest. Start small. You don't need a large company to build systems. Begin with automation. Set up automatic transfers to your savings and investments. Schedule payments so you never miss bills or late fees. These small systems save time, reduce stress, and keep your money moving in the right direction. Each automated habit is one less task on your list and one more step toward independence. The next step is to create income systems. Look for ways to build assets that generate money repeatedly. It could be an online product that sells while you sleep, a piece of real estate that brings monthly rent, or investments that pay consistent returns. Each of these is a system. You build it once, maintain it occasionally, and it continues to produce. Over time, these small systems add up. One stream turns into two, then five, and eventually, you create a network of income that no longer depends on your labor. To build systems, you must think in terms of leverage. Leverage is using tools, technology, and people to multiply your results. A simple example is content creation. Write a guide, record a course, or build a digital tool once, and it can serve thousands without more effort. Another example is delegation.
If someone else can perform a task for a reasonable cost, your time is better spent designing and improving systems instead of doing the work yourself. You trade a small expense today for exponential time tomorrow. Building systems also requires clarity. You can't automate confusion. Before you create any system, you must define what success looks like. Ask yourself, what do I want this system to achieve? What steps must happen consistently? What resources does it need? When you answer these questions, you can structure your process in a way that's repeatable. Systems don't fail because they're complicated. They fail because they're unclear. Investors and business owners who thrive all have one thing in common. They trust their systems more than their emotions. They don't make decisions based on mood. They rely on structure. Their rules are written, tested, and followed. That's how they stay consistent when others act on impulse. A system keeps you disciplined even when motivation fades. It keeps you moving forward when life gets noisy. One mistake people make when trying to build systems is thinking they need perfection before they start. The truth is, systems grow through iteration. You begin simple, see what works, and improve it over time. Waiting for the perfect setup delays progress. Start with a version that functions, then refine it as you learn. Every mistake teaches you how to make your system stronger. As you build more systems, you'll start to notice something powerful. You no longer feel trapped by time. You'll wake up to income that arrived overnight. You'll see progress happening even when you were busy elsewhere. That feeling changes everything. You begin to realize that wealth isn't about working harder. It's about working smarter. Systems give you control over your future instead of leaving you dependent on effort alone. Creating systems also means learning to measure results instead of effort. Don't focus on how many hours you worked. Focus on what your system produced. Did it save time? Did it make money? Did it grow without you pushing it every day? These metrics show you how effective your structure is. You can't improve what you don't track. Systems are built through awareness, not luck. To build money-making systems, you must embrace the idea of duplication. If something works once, find a way to repeat it automatically. If you find a method to earn $100, ask how it could earn $1,000 with the same process. That's how scalability works. The system's value comes from how well it multiplies results without multiplying effort. The moment your work can repeat without your constant presence, you're building wealth the right way. Your mindset must also shift from doing to managing. Many people struggle with letting go of control. They feel safer handling everything themselves. But true freedom comes when you learn to trust processes and people. Delegation is not losing control, it's expanding it. You can't grow if everything depends on you. Systems allow you to lead from a higher level, where your focus is strategy, not survival. Technology makes this easier than ever. You can automate marketing, payments, communication and data tracking with simple tools. You can build online platforms that reach global audiences while you sleep. You can use apps that invest your spare change or send reports automatically. Technology is the new workforce, silent, reliable and scalable. The more you use it intentionally, the more leverage you gain. Another kind of system you must build is a learning system. Markets evolve, industries change, and methods that work today might not work tomorrow. A system that earns consistently also requires knowledge that updates consistently. Set aside time each month to review your results, learn from new trends, and adjust your strategy. This habit keeps your systems alive instead of outdated. It's also important to build protection systems. These include emergency funds, insurance, and legal structures that safeguard your assets. Wealth is not only about making money, it's about keeping it. A good system protects your progress from unexpected setbacks. It gives you peace of mind, knowing that your foundation is strong. As your systems grow, reinvest a portion of your returns into creating new ones. Let your money build more money. Each system should produce income that helps fund the next idea. That's how momentum builds. It's the principle of compounding. Not just in finance, but in structure. One system supports another, until you create a network of self-sustaining wealth. At some point, your systems will reach a stage where they no longer need your daily presence. That's when you experience true freedom. You can travel, rest, create, or focus on causes that matter to you, knowing that your income continues to flow. That's not luck. That's design. Freedom is built, not found. Every system starts with a choice to stop being the worker and start being the architect. It takes patience, discipline, and vision. But once your systems are in place, your life changes. You stop working for survival and start living with purpose. You control your time instead of selling it. Building systems that make money without you isn't about avoiding work. It's about doing work that lasts. You build once, refine often, and benefit forever. That's how ordinary people build extraordinary wealth. Not through endless effort, but through intelligent design. Once your systems are working for you, you'll finally understand what freedom feels like. The kind that gives you time, choice, and peace that no paycheck ever could.
Chapter 10. Live with purpose beyond a monthly income. Life becomes truly meaningful when you start living for something larger than a paycheck. Most people spend their entire lives trapped in the rhythm of earning, spending, and surviving. They work to pay bills, then work again to pay the next set. Their worth becomes tied to a number that appears once a month, and their dreams shrink to fit inside that limit. But life was never meant to be measured by a salary. The real goal is to live with purpose, to wake up with direction, meaning, and the freedom to create, serve, and grow. A monthly income gives stability, but purpose gives fulfillment. Stability feeds your needs, purpose feeds your soul. Without purpose, money feels empty. You can have enough to survive, even enough to indulge, and still feel restless. That restlessness is life reminding you that you were made for more than routine. You were built to build, to contribute, to create value that outlasts you. The challenge is to lift your eyes above the paycheck and ask, what am I really working toward? Living with purpose begins with clarity. You must know what matters most to you, not what others expect, not what society defines as success, but what gives you peace when you close your eyes at night. Ask yourself, what kind of impact do I want to make? What do I want my work, my time, and my wealth to stand for? These questions lead you away from short-term satisfaction and toward long-term meaning. They move you from chasing money to creating significance. Money is important, but it was never the purpose. It was the tool. You earn it to build freedom, but that freedom must lead somewhere. When your only goal is income, you'll always need more to feel satisfied. When your goal is purpose, every amount becomes enough to move you forward. Purpose gives money direction. It tells it where to go, what to build, and who to help. Without purpose, money simply moves in circles. Many people postpone their purpose, saying they'll focus on it when they have enough. But enough never comes for those who chase it blindly. Purpose cannot wait for wealth. It must walk beside it. You don't need millions to make a difference. You just need intention. You can live with purpose while you're still growing, still learning, still building. Purpose is not a reward at the end. It's a way of walking through life. When you live beyond a monthly income, you begin to see work differently. You no longer work only to survive. You work to serve. You see every task, every interaction, every opportunity as a way to grow and give value. Your motivation changes. Instead of asking, how much will I earn from this? You start asking, how much will I learn? How much can I contribute? How does this align with who I'm becoming? That shift changes the quality of your work and the depth of your satisfaction. Purpose turns ordinary work into meaningful effort. The same job that once felt dull becomes a stage for growth. You stop waiting for the weekend because your life starts to matter every day. When you understand why you're doing what you do, you bring more energy, more creativity, and more heart to it.
People notice that energy. Opportunities find people who act with purpose, because purpose creates presence. It makes you stand out without trying. A life built on purpose is also resilient. When challenges come, and they always do, you don't collapse because you know why you're doing it. The person who works only for money loses motivation when things get hard. The person who works for purpose finds strength in the struggle. You can endure anything when you believe it means something. Purpose gives pain a reason and success a direction. One of the traps of modern life is defining identity by income. People begin to believe that their value rises and falls with the size of their paycheck. But you are not your salary. You are the value you bring, the growth you pursue, the lives you touch. Money will fluctuate, purpose will not. When you ground yourself in what truly matters, external conditions can't shake your inner stability. You stand firm because your meaning doesn't depend on your income. It depends on your integrity. To live with purpose, you must design your days around what moves you forward, not just what pays you. Set goals that matter beyond money. Build projects that challenge you to think bigger and help others grow. Maybe it's mentoring someone, starting a community initiative, or teaching others what you've learned about financial freedom. The more you give, the richer your life becomes, not just in wealth, but in debt. Purpose multiplies fulfillment in ways money never can. Purpose also requires awareness of how you use your time. Every hour spent without intention is a piece of your life you can't get back. When you use your time to create, learn and connect, you build something lasting. When you waste it chasing temporary comfort, it disappears without return. Living with purpose means treating your time with the same respect you give to your money. Investing it where it grows, not where it fades. People often assume purpose means quitting their job to follow a passion. It doesn't. Purpose isn't found in escape, it's found in meaning. You can live with purpose in any job, any circumstance, as long as you bring awareness and intention to it. You can use your current position as a platform for impact. Purpose is not about what you do, it's about why and how you do it. As your income grows, your purpose should grow with it. More resources mean more responsibility. The more you earn, the greater your ability to create change. True wealth is not measured by what you keep, it's measured by what you contribute. The wealthiest people in spirit are those who use their money to build schools, fund opportunities, and lift others. Their joy comes not from what they have, but from what they create. Purpose brings clarity in decision-making. When you know what you stand for, choices become easier. You no longer chase every opportunity, you choose the ones that align with your mission. You stop wasting energy on distraction. Your yes becomes powerful because it's backed by conviction, and your no becomes peaceful because it protects your direction. To live beyond a monthly income, you must also cultivate gratitude. Gratitude keeps you grounded while you grow. It reminds you that wealth is more than numbers, it's health, peace, relationships and time. Gratitude shifts your focus from what's missing to what's possible. It turns comparison into inspiration and pressure into purpose. When you appreciate where you are, you create space for more to come. Living with purpose gives your wealth a soul. Without it, money becomes empty, digits on a screen. With it, every dollar you earn becomes an instrument of change. You use it to build, to teach, to serve. You stop working for money and start making money work for meaning. That's when fulfillment begins, not in possession, but in contribution. You will know you're living beyond income when you start making choices based on growth, not fear. When you stop asking, "Will this make me money?" and start asking, "Will this make me better?" When you use your success to lift others and your freedom to inspire those who haven't found theirs yet. Purpose is contagious. The more you live it, the more others will feel it. Living this way transforms your relationship with success. It's no longer about comparison, it's about alignment. You stop measuring your life by what others have and start measuring it by how true you're being to yourself. Every step toward your purpose becomes progress, no matter how small. At the end of the day, The goal is not just to have enough to live, it's to live in a way that matters. A paycheck ends, but impact lasts. A job title fades, but purpose grows. You can't take money with you, but you can leave behind a legacy built on meaning. That's the real measure of a life well lived. Not how much you earned, but how much you gave, created and inspired. When you live with purpose beyond a monthly income, your work becomes your mission, your wealth becomes your tool, and your life becomes your message. You start waking up with excitement instead of obligation. You begin to see that success is not about reaching the end, it's about growing every day towards something meaningful. That's the kind of wealth no number can measure, and it's available to anyone willing to live intentionally, passionately, and with purpose.